In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As many as have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. Hallelujah. You heard that just a minute ago. We sing that on Great Feasts. We sing that in Pascha, and we sing that during baptisms and other times. Why is it sung today? It's sung today because we cannot put on Christ without the Holy Spirit. And when we put on Christ, the Holy Spirit is helping us to become what we are born to be. I would say that if there is one theme to my poor, wretched life as a priest, is that I talk incessantly about who we are and who we are to be. That is the most critical piece of knowledge you can have in the entire universe, is who we are and who we are created to be. If you know who you are and who you are created to be, then you certainly know of God, who created you in His image to obtain His likeness. We are celebrating today the ability to obtain His likeness because of the coming of the Holy Spirit, to put on Christ completely, to be changed so that we are a real human being. Many of you have heard before me say that we're not human yet, and we're not. We might look like human beings with our fingers and our toes and our noses and our eyes and the conformation of a human body, but we are not yet truly human. Because the truly human God-man showed us the way to be truly human. And this way is through the Holy Spirit, whom He promised. He promised the Holy Spirit when He would go away. And He told the disciples that He would go away, and then He would send the Comforter to them. What a marvelous word for the Holy Spirit, Comforter. We all need comforts. Many people seek comfort in many different ways. There is only one way to have comfort. There might be an appeasement of our passions for a little while, or a little bit of pleasure, or something like that. But the only way to have comfort, where your soul is truly at rest, is for the Holy Spirit to live within you, and therefore for you to put on Christ, to become a whole, complete human being. Now, we Christians, we live in the world. We know things that go on in the world. We have cell phones like everyone else. We watch the news or see it on our cell phone screens. We're aware of things that are happening in the world, as we should be. It's always been that way. You should be aware of the things that are going on around you. And I've wanted to speak for some time, and I haven't known how to do it. So maybe I'll do it right. Maybe I won't get it quite right. But since this time where a man was killed in Minneapolis, George Floyd, we have upheaval in our country. And that's on top of so many confusing things about the COVID-19 disease. So much confusion. So many things people are saying. So many things hierarchs are saying that are very confusing and even very scandalous to some of us. What do you make of all of this? I'll tell you what I make of it. As a Christian, we must react to the world by putting on Christ, by living in a Christian way, in a spiritual way. How do we encounter these things? This death of a man, a terrible death, a death that appears to be completely without justification of any kind. It appears to be without justification of any kind. Perhaps it's a heresy to say it appears. Perhaps in this world, people want you to say something, jump to a conclusion, and immediately become angry. But I say it appears to be. We shall see what it is. There are many other factors involved, and I'm not here to debate any of those things. But I would say that we should not look at things only on their appearance. That's one way of living spiritually. The gospel talks about that today. It is so easy in our day and age, when we have so much social media and other such things, and there's also a real power among the society to conform to a certain narrative, that people jump to conclusions and people don't see things as they are, with a spiritual view, but they see things as they're told to see them. This is what happened to Jesus Christ. They said about Jesus, they said, we don't know where he's from. Now, they should have known, but they got confused. He was born in Bethlehem, but then moved to Nazareth, so that confused them. And they thought, well, he looks just like us, and yet he doesn't speak like us, but how can we think that he's God-man? How can we think he's a prophet, or perhaps we think he's the Messiah, or some people think he's just a street preacher? Who is he? He wasn't as he appeared to be to many people. They didn't understand that this was the God-man teaching us the way of life. So we can apply this idea of what happened to Jesus to our daily life. It was horrific what happened in Minneapolis. But in terms of death, destruction, pain, it is more horrific what happened after Minneapolis. That's absolutely fact. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. It's horrific, the anger that is pouring forth and all the other feelings. There's also feelings that are good to be pouring forth, such as a desire to have an honest conversation about racial relations in our country and other such things. So I'm not here to make any political pronouncements about any of those things. I should try not to make political pronouncements as a Orthodox priest, but I should tell you that when you encounter things like this, you must encounter them in a spiritual way and understand that there are things that are not yet apparent, and therefore we should be patient. But in the meantime, I added George Floyd, and he was a 69-year-old man who was a former police captain. David, I added them to my prayer list. As many of you know, I have something called Daniel's List, people who died suddenly, whether they're Orthodox or not, people who pray for Daniel, people who have lost loved ones suddenly. And so this police captain, former police captain, I believe he was 69, he was trying to stop rioters from destroying a pawn shop. And he was, I believe, shot dead by them, or at least he was killed by them. You don't hear a lot about him, a black man killed by a mob of mostly black men. You don't hear a lot about him. You hear about George Floyd, and we should hear about George Floyd, a man who died in an untimely way, in a terrible way. I pray for both of them on Daniel's list because they died in an untimely way. That's my contribution. Perhaps you would like to do that too. I think that's a spiritual way of approaching the problem. I can't solve everything about racial relations in this country. It's a Gordian knot. I don't know if anybody can solve it. People talk about politics and about all kinds of other such things. And as a Christian, I think the only way things change is when people's hearts change. So a lot of people's hearts have to change. And then the mechanisms of society, the changes that are made in society will be fruitful and will bring about more peace. But in this world, we don't look for perfect peace because it doesn't exist. It never existed. It will never exist until the end of time. At the end of time, there will be a perfect society with perfect peace, and that's called heaven. So in the meantime, we're living in this mess, in this terrible situation. And I can tell you that people are concerned about it. I encounter them all the time. We have anxiety about it. We have anger about it. We have mistrust about it. We have so many other things. As Christians, we must approach things in a spiritual manner. Because after all, the purpose of our life is to become like God. This is why we are made, to obtain His likeness, to become real human beings. And we must always remember that every human being is made with that potential, with that ability, in an equal way, that everyone is made in the image of God, including those we like and don't like, those with our politics and those that don't have our politics, those that riot and those that demonstrate peaceably. Everyone is made in the image of God to obtain His likeness. So I would say to you that your approach should be to pray and to have a certain patience and not jump to great conclusions. Just recently, someone said something on Facebook that was very outrageous, sort of designed, I think, to start a fire. You know, what do you call it? Gaslighting. And I know that person as a human being. I've looked that person in the eyes many times. So I wrote to him privately. It turns out that he was just lashing out because of hurtfulness. He was just hurt. So he lashed out because if you want to start a fight, you can easily do it in social media. But there was something more to be seen that you just couldn't see by looking at a phone screen and seeing a post on Facebook. There was a human being who was really struggling with a lot of things and didn't know how to struggle with them. But I know that person personally. So in speaking with this person personally, there was a lot of progress made instead of just saying, piling on this poor person about the things he said, which were designed to be piled upon, I think. I encountered him as a human being, one human being to another. Now, I don't claim to be a very spiritual man, but that is a spiritual thing to do. That is how we must encounter what is happening around us, whether it's COVID-19 or the death of George Floyd and the riots and the demonstrations and the dialogue that I hope begins and continues. regarding racial relations and policing in America and many other things. I hope there is a good, fruitful dialogue. We should all hope for that. But I'm not going to wait for that dialogue to be a Christian. Instead, I'm going to, or not instead, but along the waiting, along with the waiting, and maybe contributing to the dialogue, I will pray for people who've departed early in life, before, shall we say, before their time, if there is such a thing. Of course, God allows everyone to die when He desires it. So whether it's before their time or not is not for us to say, but it is a sudden death. That's my thing. I pray for people who died suddenly. And you might have another thing that really matters to you regarding anything. So don't just be angry about a social injustice. Do something about it. I don't mean necessarily that you demonstrate. You can. I don't mean necessarily that you get involved in some program. You can. But absolutely, positively, you must have a heart that is attuned to our needs in society. I don't see enough of that in this discussion, in the aftermath of the death of George Floyd and everything that's happened. I don't see that kind of discussion. And as an Orthodox priest, I think that's the most important discussion. So look at things in a spiritual way. And you can do this with your life. This is why the Holy Spirit came, not just so that you could have some sort of perspective about riots and demonstrations all over the country, or about a disease that has paralyzed our world, and we're just starting to come out of it. There'll be another disease. There'll be another riot. There'll be another war. There'll be another injustice. It'll happen again and again and again and again. In the meantime, you must live becoming a human being. This is what this feast is about. When I heard those words, they were very comforting to me, even though I heard them yesterday as well. As many as have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. The meaning of this feast is that you can put on Christ. You can become a real, true, complete human being because of Pentecost, because the Holy Spirit is sent to us. Now, the scripture also talks us about not quenching the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is fire. Now, when you quench fire, you pour water on it and it goes out. The Holy Spirit doesn't go out, but the Holy Spirit will not be the warm, comforting presence in us that we need if we quench the Holy Spirit by our anger, by our laziness, by our lust, by our whatever it is. So we must live in a spiritual way. We have an obligation to live in a spiritual way. There's another image from this gospel that is so fantastic to me. It talks about Jesus Christ is at a feast and he's speaking about the Holy Spirit. And he quotes Isaiah, and he speaks about water springing up out of the belly. The Holy Spirit, one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit is water. Now, and this connection is in Russian, but not so much in English, that belly and life are the same word. I believe in Slavonic, zhivot is life, and in Russian, zhivot is belly. Life comes out of the belly, right? You eat, and if you don't eat, then the food is not broken down, and you die. So you must have food in the belly to come to live. But what if that food in the belly is not only that which gives you physical life, but also gives you eternal life, and that it springs out everywhere and refreshes everyone? You should attempt to live in this way. Now, tomorrow is Monday, Holy Spirit Monday. I'll serve liturgy. Many of you will go to work, or perhaps still be working in your homes, and you have this to do and that to do and everything else. So we must get on with everything we have to do in our lives. But in the midst of all that, there must be water springing up out of our bellies because we have put on Christ by baptism. And this must permeate everything we do in our personal life and in our public life. Glory be to God that indeed we have water springing up out of our bellies, that we can become whole, complete human beings. Don't ever forget that and live according to that, no matter what you encounter. Now, I apologize if anything I have said to you appears to be political. It is not meant to be political. The way we solve political problems is with the heart. That's what I want to talk about today. Our heart becoming like Christ, so that we put on Christ in such a way that we are no longer just sinful, wretched human beings with this misunderstanding of so many things in life, but we have put on Christ and become complete human beings according to who Jesus Christ is. That is what we are celebrating today. May God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.